the FAA refuses to budge on Through the Fence. U.S. lawmakers continue stalling on FAA reauthorization. And there's optimism for the recovery of Kyle and Amanda. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, March 18th, 2011. Facing the prospect of an authorization which includes congressional meddling in its policies, the FAA has announced an interim policy on RTTF, or Residential Through the Fence Agreements, which freezes in place arbitrary restrictions which have drawn protests from nearly all the stakeholders. In its official statement, the FAA now calls for airport sponsors with existing agreements to develop an airport access plan that outlines how the airport will meet its obligations to operate as a public-use airport. The plan must detail how the airport sponsor meets standards for control of the airport, safety of operations, self-sustainability, and non-discriminatory airport rates. None of these things have been issues with existing agreements. In continuing its curious crusade, the FAA repeats claims that RTTF creates risks by providing direct access to runways by neighboring residents, as if that was somehow more dangerous than direct access from hangars on the field. The agency also warrants access for all pilots to RTTF airports could be restricted in response to noise complaints from neighboring residents, despite being forced to admit last year it had never received such a complaint from the owner of a hangar home. The FAA also claims RTTF impedes the airport's ability to collect appropriate fees, ignoring the fact that for many affected airports, RTTF fees make up a significant portion or a majority of the airport's local revenue. The FAA says its new interim policy is effective immediately and will not be reviewed again till 2014 following a study of the issues. My guest today on the ANN special feature is Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org, who will tell us what we need to do to make sure an amendment preserving the RTTF option remains a part of FAA reauthorization. Federal lawmakers have stated publicly that FAA reauthorization is an urgent priority and that reliable funding is necessary to move next-gen ATC and other improvements forward. But ironically, that importance has only made the bill an ideal hostage for amendments which seek to bring about completely unrelated goals, such as gun control or repeal of Obamacare. On Wednesday, the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee approved a record 19th temporary extension of FAA funding, which originally ran out in 2007. There's positive news in the horrendous recovery battle faced by Amanda and Kyle Franklin following last week's off-airport forced landing at a Texas air show following an engine failure. Both suffered extensive burns. Amanda's brother, Matt Youngkin, updated the team's Facebook page with a post which says, in part, quote, "Amanda's out of surgery and everything went perfect. They were able to remove the majority of her burned tissue and have even started grafting procedures. This surgery was performed several days earlier than normal due to Amanda's youth and excellent physical health. She is a real fighter and is progressing ahead of schedule. We were told that this was likely the most risky and most extensive surgery she will experience, so from an operating side, it is all downhill from here. Her next surgery is scheduled for late next week at this point. Kyle is recovering well and is scheduled for skin grafting surgery on Friday. As I stated before, please consider no news good news, so we will likely not post again unless something changes for the next several days. Thank you all again for the support and prayers." Unquote. ANN will have updates as soon as we learn more. Up next on ANN, Sikorsky's X2 wins a prestigious award. Global Hawks join the fight along the U.S.-Mexican border. And airline employment continues a slow recovery. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing from March 18th. I'm Paul Platt. While FAI stews over whether it can really be called a helicopter, Sikorsky's X-2 technology demonstrator has won the 2010 Robert J. Collier Trophy. It's awarded annually to recognize the greatest achievements in aeronautics or astronautics in America. It's the 100th Collier Trophy to be awarded since the inception of the prize, and comes after the X-2 achieved a speed of 250 knots true airspeed in level flight, setting an official speed record for a helicopter, and accomplishing the program's ultimate speed milestone. Mark Miller, Sikorsky VP of Research and Engineering, says his team is thrilled. Quote, "This is a tremendous honor for the entire Sikorsky community, and we are proud to see the X-2 technology demonstrator earn its place in aviation history." Unquote. The trophy will be formally presented at the annual Collier Dinner to be held May 5th at the Crystal Gateway Marriott in Arlington, Virginia. The U.S. has confirmed that high-altitude Global Hawk drones are now being deployed on the Mexican side of the U.S.-Mexico border to aid both governments in the fight against drug and weapons trafficking. The New York Times reports that Mexican President Felipe Calderon agreed to the flights in a meeting March 3rd with President Obama. Officials of both countries have said that Mexico requested U.S. assistance in the form of the UAVs. The number of overflights by the Global Hawks is classified, but they can cover 40,000 square miles in a day. The airline industry may be threatened by rapidly rising oil prices, but for now at least, passenger traffic stats and employment levels continue to slowly recover. The U.S. Department of Transportation's Bureau of Transportation Statistics, working from data supplied by the airlines, says industry employment ticked up 0.4% in January compared to the same month in 2010. The stats are based on FTEs, or full-time equivalents, which count two part-timers the same as one full-timer. Four network airlines, American, U.S. Airways, Alaska, and United, were actually down. Leading the airlines with increases was Delta, at 2.7%. Jack Jones has been named Vice President and General Manager of Boeing South Carolina, assuming overall leadership of facilities and operations at the new plant there. Boeing South Carolina fabricates, assembles, and installs systems for the aft fuselage sections of the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, and joins and integrates 787 mid-body fuselage sections from other structural partners. Boeing also will perform final assembly and delivery of 787s from South Carolina to customers around the world. Jones replaces Tim Coyle, who will now lead operations at Boeing's Aviation Technical Services facility in Everett, Washington. Coyle's new team will be responsible for modifications and completion of early production 787 airplanes. There are a few additional related personnel changes. You can get the details in the text version of this story, dated March 17th, at aero-news.net. Still ahead, counterfeit parts may be a growing threat to aerospace safety. British tax increases threaten to curtail the last Avro Vulcan. And Delta Airlines plays hardball with a media critic. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, March 18th. I'm Paul Platt. A new report from the Aerospace Industries Association warns that the volume of counterfeit parts in the supply chain is increasing, necessitating that mitigation plans be developed and implemented. AIA President Marion Blakey explains, quote, "The use of counterfeit parts in the aerospace industry may have life or death consequences. Reducing their proliferation and potentially harmful effects requires increased diligence and active control measures from both industry and government," unquote. While the problem is difficult to quantify, in fiscal 2009, the Customs and Border Protection Service seized almost $4 million in counterfeit critical technology components, including networking equipment and semiconductor devices used in the aerospace industry. While profit is the most obvious incentive for counterfeiting, The long life cycle of aerospace products also plays a role. Aircraft developed in the 1950s, like the B-52, are still in active inventory, while parts from original equipment, component manufacturers, or authorized aftermarket manufacturers or distributors may no longer be available. The report has more than 20 recommendations for industry and government, including development of an approved suppliers list for use by government and industry. The U.S. isn't the only place where organizations trying to preserve and fly historic warbirds face growing regulatory hurdles. The Avro Vulcan was born in the years immediately following World War II. The Delta Wing bomber was part of a push in Britain to develop that country's first atomic bomb and the means to deliver it into Russia if necessary. The last flying example of the distinctive plane has been restored and all safety checks passed in time for it to appear at air shows throughout the UK this season. Unfortunately, tax regulations applying to large non-commercial aircraft like the Vulcan were changed with very little warning at the beginning of January. This means the sudden imposition of 20% value-added tax on parts and services needed for maintenance of the Vulcan, in addition to rapidly rising fuel prices, which will require doubling that budget line. To raise the £350,000 needed to meet the new costs, or roughly $561,000 U.S., a package of supporter benefits is being launched that includes a special summer season plaque that will carry the names of campaign supporters on the famous Bombay doors. Get the details on the specific sponsor levels offered in the text version of this story, dated March 17th, at aero-news.net. And finally today, last week, what used to be a respected New Jersey newspaper released a blog post attributed to the editorial board, which criticized the USDOT's three-hour tarmac stranding rule, using bogus statistics to create the impression that the rule was responsible for a big jump in flight cancellations, when in fact, they're down compared to the previous year. Despite the obvious errors, a link to the story was circulated by the Air Transport Association to further the industry's campaign against the rule. This week, in Atlanta, the secret world of airline propaganda came to the attention of the general public through the firing of a radio personality over a tweet critical of Delta Airlines, which is based in Atlanta. According to a report by Atlanta Journal and Constitution columnist Rodney Ho, sportscaster Chad Scott of Atlanta's AM 680 The Fan was in St. Louis on Tuesday, where his Delta flight back home to Atlanta was delayed by a shortage of de-icing fluid. Not only did he tweet about the delay and complain about Delta's bean counters screwing up people's travel plans, he went a step further and suggested that fellow AM 680 sportscaster Buck Ballou, who was paid money by Delta to endorse the airline in ads on the station, might want to reconsider his position. Officials at Delta apparently were not amused. The station first ordered Scott to recall the message, which he did, but somebody saved it and it got out. Within hours, Scott was fired. Scott has picked up a bunch of new Twitter followers since he got canned and is even using tweets to seek his next gig. Quote, "So if you're a radio station looking for someone with 10 years network and major market experience or need some yard work done, I'm available," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Dr. Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org offers details on the story of the FAA's new policy on RTTF. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.